Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's Part of My Take, we have Frankie Muniz in studio. One of the coolest careers of anyone we've ever had in studio. Former actor Malcolm in the Middle, now race car driver. We also have the return of Billy Football. His 1 month suspension is officially over. He joins us for the Mount Rushmore of ways to kick it up a notch. And then we have the Open Championship. Incredible golf on Sunday. We're going to recap it all. Who's back? Great show coming up for you. It's brought to you.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Coors Light. Today is Monday, July 18th, and Cameron Smith is your Open Championship champion, the Aussie with the mullet and mustache. What a tournament. What a back nine. I'm trying to say nice things right now because I had Rory, and everyone knows I had Rory. But what a tournament. What a back nine. There it is.
It was incredible. Cam's the first Cameron to ever win anything, as far as I'm concerned. I can't think of another winner that's a Cameron. Instead of subjecting you guys to my terrible Australian accent, I decided to actually just reach out to Cam Smith directly. So here's a little quote from Cam Smith, exclusive to Part of My Take on winning the Open Championship.
Well, thanks, mate. On behalf of my criminal ancestors who were kicked off this land hundreds of years ago, I'd like to humbly take this opportunity to tell the Queen of England to suck my dick. I hope her old ass sees this and has a heart attack. Me, PFT, and Delhi are gonna rent a Winnebago and travel the world slamming Coors Lights and searching for treasure. Aussie, 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 thanks, Pardon My Take. Love you guys and all the AWLs out there.
Incredible. Like, wow. So well said.
What a moment. I did, when he said that he wanted to figure out how many beers fit in the claret jug, I was watching that live being like, I just want to hear PFT repeat that back to us.
How many beers fit inside this tremendous trophy right now? I reckon you could get a couple, maybe 13, 14 ice cold Coors Lights. Fantastic.
Dude, he was insane. That was an insane back nine. What he shot a 30. He just, every putt was either in or like, you know, the course. Can we just talk about that course for a second? The fact that there are two, they're shared greens, just broke my brain for the entire afternoon. Like even the announcers at some points, they're like, oh, well, he's shooting it here. But that, you see that flag over there, that's the 13th hole or something. What the fuck is this?
It's weird. And sometimes if you hit a shot like closer to the other hole, you end up better than if you hit a straight shot that comes up like a little bit short on a par four to the hole that you're supposed to be shooting at. It's a bizarre course. And it's crazy because watching on TV, you'll see a player hit a shot that'll like run onto the green and it looks great. But then the announcers are like, oh, he is in deep hell, that poor twat. And then every shot that looks like it's shit, the announcers are like, oh, poetic, heroic shot. Yeah. It's like, wait, I do not understand Lynx golf. I love having it once a year on TV so I can it will do like what you said. It'll break your brain and it'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough for us, even as dimpleheads as we are, it's tough for us to wrap our heads around this course.
They would put shots like 30 feet away from the pin and the announcer would be like, that's a terrible spot. He's got six mounds that he has to go over. It's like, what the fuck? Like we said on Friday, I know it's not fact because it's obviously a historic golf course and very difficult. But the fact that some of these greens are like 100 yards long and everything is on there, like I want to play there because everything's on. I know that everything's not on because you can hit it and it could be like you have to chip from, you know, you're on the green, but you have to still chip or you have to putt it like 200 feet. But still, everything is on. The whole course makes no sense. It was awesome to watch. Great fucking theater. And Rory, you broke my heart. I may never get over this one.
I actually think it's a great equalizer of a course. I think that if guys like me and you played it against guys that are like, I don't know, Jake and Hank's level of golf, I think the scores would be closer together than they would at a normal golf course in the United States where you like have to hit the right fairway and have to hit like clean approach shots because it's crazy. On the 17th hole, when Cam Smith hit his drive, and as we know from talking to Shane Bacon, he should have hit it onto the 18th tee box and then chipped it over, but he didn't. He hit it and he was putting on his second shot and the announcers were like, that is a terrible drive. And he was putting two on a par four. And they're like, oh, he's fucked on this one. And then he hit a great putt to within 2 feet. And at that point, it was kind of his tournament to lose. I do feel bad for Rory because it felt like this was Rory's moment. It felt like everything was setting up given his history at that course. And it's probably his last time being able to be like truly competitive at St. Andrews.
No.
At St. Andrews.
No. He's 33.
I mean, how often do they play there? It's like every 4 years or
it's
something.
It's every 5 years. Yeah.
Every 5 years.
No, you're thinking Tiger. You're thinking Tiger.
No, with Tiger's Rory. He's going to be 38 and he's going to be slightly out of his prime. This was the last tournament. Yes, this was the last Open at St. Andrews for Rory in his prime.
I think he'll be. I think he will absolutely be competitive at 38 as a golfer. Golfers golf forever. They're fucking. Okay, they're ageless.
Let's make a bet right now. Rory at St. Andrews. I don't think in 2027, I'm putting him. He's not going to finish in the top five.
I mean, that top five is very like competitive. Like, what is competitive though? Like, he can
fine, top 10.
Okay. I mean, but 38 is not out of his, like, he still will be very good in 5 years. Tiger is done. That was it for Tiger. And we did have, like, the journey. It was so set up for Rory. Not only, like, the fact that he's been the darling of trying to save golf and being the most outspoken guy against Liv. And then it's, you know, at St. Andrews. I don't know if you guys saw the story. Journalists were just coming everywhere when this story was written. How Tiger, when he was walking up 18 for the last time, Rory was on one and he tipped his cap to him and Tiger saw and they mentioned it after. Tiger was like, yeah, that was a great moment. Like that was a moment if Rory had gone on to win the tournament, talk about passing the torch. Like that would have been a journalist's wet dream for Rory to win that tournament and he couldn't hit a fucking putt. He couldn't hit a putt. All he had to do was hit a putt and he couldn't hit a putt. And I'm not saying that I could hit those putts, but I could have hit those putts, and he couldn't.
It's not just him like missing putts. Cam Smith just couldn't. He couldn't miss. He was locked in. I think he had nine fewer putts. Or as Azinger said right after it was over, he's like, I think Azinger said like Cam Smith
19.
Had like 20 fewer putts than Rory did. It's like, wait, that's just impossible. There's no chance that stat is true.
He misread the one.
There was the stat though that popped up that was like total yardage of made putts. And Cam Smith was at like 90, or it might have been feet, whatever, feet probably. I'm thinking football. Football's back. It was like 90 feet, and Rory was at like 27, which just tells you everything. Cam Smith was making the 25 foot putts, and Rory was just two putting everything and having to get within 5 feet to then make it. And it just, you're right, Cam Smith, like, as much as you want to say it was a meltdown from Rory, it really wasn't. Like, he definitely could have made some putts to keep him. He had the lead. He could have made some putts. Cam Smith just played out of his fucking mind. Rory didn't even finish second.
Yeah. So that's what's crazy. On the 18th hole, Rory put his first shot, what was it, like 20 yards short, and he had to try to chip up and down and get it in to force a playoff. But because he went after the pin, he didn't make his putt after that because he was trying to sink his chip. And that fact alone cost him, like, I think $300,000. Yeah. Whereas if he had just, like, put it close on a second instead of going for the win. I mean, obviously, when you're Rory, you've made a lot of money already, so you're not thinking about that calculus of the $200,000. But the fact remains, like, second place was $1.5 million. Third place was $933,000.
It's actually, PFT, the way to properly say it now in golf terminology, Rory just was $300,000 closer to signing with the LIV Tour because all that money missed means that someday he might go and golf in Saudi Arabia. What were you going to say, Hank? You had Rory as well, which I'm now back-to-back majors where I had the second place. Well, I guess he didn't finish second. The guy who was felt like he was going to win it all, and it all fell apart. I also had I got to stop watching golf with my family because it's just like I had Paw Patrol on one TV, golf on the other, trying to sweat it out. Like, just – it was just a disaster in my household again, as Rory couldn't put together a putt. But what were we going to say, Hank?
I was going to say, Cam Smith obviously played out of his mind, but if you're Rory and you're leading the Open and in the back nine, you only have one birdie, Cam Smith has six. If he just has two more birdies, he at least forces a playoff. Like, he didn't necessarily choke, but he didn't deserve to win. Like, he didn't play the back nine like a champion.
Yeah. I like that, Hank. That's a great take. He didn't deserve to win. Yeah,
it should have been at least a playoff. Like, you go one for nine birdies, and Cam Smith gets six. Like, two more birdies from Rory, and we're in a playoff.
Rory played too comfortably. He was up three shots, I think, at 10, and then he thought, okay, all I have to do is fairways and greens, like in 10 cup, and he didn't count on Cam Smith just sinking anything within 50 feet.
And they started doing the Rory package on the NBC where they started playing the Rory clips from when he was hitting, you know, golf balls into his mom's washing machine when he was 11 years old. They did the whole thing. They were like, this is his moment. This is his crowning achievement. What a moment for Rory. He's playing the best golf of his life as heard first by Pardon My Take. And it was his tournament. And then Cam Smith, who is the problem is Cam Smith is objectively a cool guy. He's got a mullet. He's Australian. He looks like an average Joe, and he went out there and played his balls off. So, like, as much as I want to be mad about it, he was that phenomenal that, like, I had to sit back and be like, holy fuck, this guy cannot miss.
Do you think that the fact that Rory is named Rory makes him more likable? Because I do think that that's a very sympathetic first name. Like, you can't hate a guy named Rory.
Yeah, and the accent. I think accents always just soften everything. Like, the minute someone speaks and they have an accent, you're like, oh, that guy's cool. I want to hang out with him.
Yeah, I do love everything about Cam Smith. His hair, his shitty mustache, his height, his Australian accent. Like, in my wildest dreams, I've been going as Cam Smith for Halloween every day of my life. He's a cool guy, and it was cool to see him win. I don't like Cam Young. If we're going to power rank our Cams, Cam Smith won, Cam Young distant second. Way to stay relevant, baseball. He's sponsored by Major League Baseball.
I love that.
It's crazy.
I love that.
It's crazy.
I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. And he, the Cams 1 and 2. I was like, I fucking hate all Camerons. And then someone pointed out, yeah, you do, because they just showed a picture of Duke's court. And I was like, yep. I didn't even put that in my brain. But yes, I do hate all Camerons. So fuck all Camerons for the rest of the life of my life and their life. What were you going to say, Hank?
I also like how they give out a silver medal to the top amateur, but like no gold medal or bronze medal. Like, they just throw that in there.
Oh, dude, that guy.
Like, you just get the silver medal, but that would imply that there's like a gold or bronze, but it's just like, nope.
That Italian who won the low amateur, I love saying amateur, and his Italian dad, he's Italian, and he was just crying, and he was just like fist pumping. He's just like, that's my son. And he was crying. It was such a great moment. It's like, yeah, dude, that is your son. Way to go. That's just fucking sports right there. I love it.
That's the Borelli household right there for you.
Yeah.
Italian and tears. That's what they do.
So because we have a big Jay on the show, Jake I'd like you to chime in. How much did the sports journalism world lose today by not having the Rory story? And like I said, I read the article. It was so funny that they did a whole article solely about Rory tipping his cap to Tiger as Tiger walked up on the 18th. And like that, they lost. The journalists lost today. Not as much to me and Hank, but journalists lost.
Yeah, that definitely would have been nice. And I think journalists would have taken the opportunity to as well be like, look, you can still win a major and not go to LIV and still be successful. So screw you guys who went to LIV, because they always just like emphasize doing what is quote unquote the right thing to do. So that was a missed opportunity for them as well.
Well, under the LIV rules, Rory would have won that tournament after 54 holes.
That's true.
And we would have kind of cut out.
Well, he would have
tied. Cut out to play on that tour.
Yeah, he would have tied.
Well, Max wouldn't have gotten cut, and then he would have won the tournament.
Yeah,
there's no cuts.
I also love. It's got to suck so bad to be the Victor Hovlands of the world. I feel like that happens a lot in majors where there's like two guys, you know, the final pairing, and one of them just like we didn't even remember that he was tied for the lead going into the final round at the Open because he just like he wasn't even a thought. I thought about him for the first three holes, and then it was like, oh yeah, that guy. I forgot that he was there.
The moment was definitely too big for him. He's one of those guys that when he gets on the green, he walks all the way up to the hole and then stands with both of his feet on either side of the hole and just feels the slope with his body for a little bit. That's the only thing I'll ever remember about Victor. Victor Hovland?
Hovland, yeah.
Victor H-O-V. Hovland. The shot of the tournament that almost was, we almost got an albatross or a super eagle. I don't know which one you want to call it, double eagle. I like calling it a super eagle. There was a shot
Jessica.
That just bounced off the pin and would have been a two on a par five, which is that's the rarest shot in golf. And that would have stolen the show right there.
Yeah, it would have. There was also a guy who just had an eagle in. I assume it was for presentation or something, but they showed a shot of the crowd right after Cam won. And he was just standing there with an eagle on his arm. I was like, that's pretty fucking cool. Like that's one of those ones that I assume that it's for the show. But also Scotland is just a totally different world where it might have just been like, bring your own eagle. Like if you have an eagle, you're allowed to bring it to the Open Championship.
Yeah, it's an emotional support eagle. There was a bird show somewhere in the United States this weekend where they had a falconry exhibit. And this dude brought his falcon out to the middle and there's a crowd of thousands watching him. And he sends his falcon up to start flying. And then he just waits and waits. And he's like waving his hand up in the air. And he's like, okay, the falcon's coming back. And he's second now. And the falcon just decided like, peace out. Fuck you guys. I'm gone. And just became a wild bird again in the middle of the show. So awesome.
I love it. I love it. Free that falcon. And then one last shout out to the claret jug guy who that's got to be the most pressure of any job ever. He has to engrave the claret jug like in the 5 minutes between the tournament ending and them doing the award presentation. They showed him and he was just sitting there chiseling away. Do you think he's ever made a mistake? Because that's a lot of fucking pressure.
For sure. I think the person that does the Stanley Cup names has that sort of pressure too. And they
definitely
make mistakes though. That guy's definitely made a mistake before. And it was cracking me up because the camera angle that they showed of the guy in his little hut, they like stationed him in a shack somewhere on the course. And he's just like hunched over a table and he's got the chiseling tool, but it looks like it's a straw going into his nose. And he just looked like he was just blowing lines backstage when the camera was on him.
He might have needed to just to like focus on this one moment where like he has basically an entire 364 days where he just can chill. And then one day the most pressure in the entire world on his shoulders.
Yeah. And he has to spell a name that's never been spelled on a major trophy before, Cameron.
Yeah.
I would have fucked up like all day long. I was mixing up Cam Smith and Cam Young when I was talking to people and I was like, oh yeah, Cam Young is killing it right now. And then I have to remind myself, oh no, that's the bad Cam. That's the other Cam. That's the Cam that sucks.
What were you going to say, Jake?
Yeah, so good news for Rory, actually. Next year, the Open Championship is at Royal Liverpool, and that's where he won it in 2014.
Okay, so that doesn't help us at all.
I'm just saying for his sake.
Yeah.
He's going somewhere where he's won before.
We'll pre-bet it.
That, Jake, Jake is always good at giving like the silver linings that I just want to be like, shut the fuck up with that silver lining.
Bookmark this next year.
You're the king of it, Jake. There's no one
before.
There's no one who has a rosier outlook on life than you in like just the worst times where I'm just sitting, just stewing by myself, just like motherfucking everything.
So I end up winning my bet today, but the way that I bet on golf sometimes is so stupid, where I bet on like 9 players before the tournament started. Then I bet on 2 more players after the first round. Then I forgot and I realized, oh yeah, none of my bets that I put in on Thursday are going to hit at all. So then I just loaded up on Cam and put like a little bit on Rory for today. I checked my account. I exactly broke back even on the entire tournament. That's bad. But he was like plus 800 when I bet on him. That's how bad all my other bets were.
That's a good tournament. And we also got robbed of the Max Slam, right? He didn't make the cut. That was sad. He got to watch Tiger go across the bridge, though, so good for him.
I think that if you had asked Max truthfully, what would you rather have happen? You barely make the cut, and you know you finish in like 40th place or whatever, or you get to play with Tiger on his last round at St. Andrews potentially, and get to experience that moment. I think Max is such a softy and such an emotional guy. He's like, you know what? That's a memory that's worth more than any amount of money.
And I kind of agree with him. Like, that is an all-time moment that he got to basically walk and stand right behind. Like, he put up a picture on his Instagram that was, you know, Tiger going across the bridge, and he's standing right there. There's only him and Fitzpatrick are the only two guys that were that close and were, like, that in the moment.
Do you blame yourself at all for Max's performance, thinking that maybe there's an outside chance that the entire time he was thinking about Tiger Woods fucking his wife?
No. I think I probably should have gone harder. I probably should have gone harder. I should have been way more graphic about it. Cause he clearly was still like wrapped up in the Tiger lore. I should have really just made Tiger such a detestable person to him that he was so focused that he beat his brains in. Instead, he was like happy to be with Tiger. So I didn't do my job. So hand up. I didn't do my job. I didn't go hard enough on the idea that Tiger wanted to fuck. Tiger probably wanted to fuck your whole family, Max. Every single member of your family. So I should have said that before. Even your dogs. I think multiple dogs. So yeah, I should have said that. I should have gone really, really hard. That joke, by the way, I had a couple of people being like too far. And I actually can't tell if they're saying too far, like that's offensive to Max, or too far because they're such Tiger fans that they're like, that's not right to say that about Tiger. I think it's the latter. I think it's the Tiger fans.
Honestly, I think people got upset and uncomfortable about it because it was too close to the truth. I think people got mad because you were just too close to the truth. I think you cut too close to the bone, and people were like, yeah, it's uncomfortable, but goddamn, it's probably true. Like, as they say, if you're taking flack, that means that you're over all the right targets, Big Cat.
Yeah, it was essentially like what everyone's thinking, but no one wants to say out loud. I just said it out loud. The Tiger's just eyeing up all of Max's family and Fitzpatrick's family for that. And actually Fitzpatrick's adopted family in Boston, too. He wanted to fuck them all. That's just the Tiger way.
Tiger would fuck each and every one of us if he had a half second of opportunity. If a hole presented itself to him, Tiger's swimming in it.
Or if we were serving him pancakes at a Perkins.
Mm-hmm, especially that.
Then it's on site. Yeah, Tiger, I guess that was sad watching him walk up. I assume that Tiger's going to keep playing all the majors. So I feel like he's going to at least get to do that walk like 6 more times. But that might be stupid. But if I were him, I would just keep playing all the majors. And people will still – like, think about it. Tiger's in that spot now where his legacy is completely cemented. He's the greatest of all time. He can show up to a major. Oh, you don't think so, Hank? You think it's still Jack Nicklaus?
Who's got more majors?
Well, I mean, who played in a more competitive era?
How does that impact LeBron's legacy?
It's not Nicklaus's fault. You can only play when you play.
Okay, all right. So Tiger's the second best golfer of all time, according to Hank. Tiger fans, go ahead.
And the record books.
He's at Hen_E's on Twitter for any Tiger fans that want to go after him. What I was going to say, though, Tiger basically can show up to a major, and if he makes the cut, the story is about Tiger. Like, that's all he has to do. Everyone just be like, oh my God, Tiger's in. All he has to do is put one low round out there and everyone's like, watch out for Tiger. That's a pretty cool spot to be in because like his reputation is so high that anytime he plays like decent golf, everyone's going to lose their fucking mind, and rightfully so.
His legacy is cemented, but is his brand cemented? That's the real question we should be asking ourselves.
He needs to go to the Live tour. He needs to conquer the Live for that to happen.
Tiger Woods on the prowl in Saudi Arabia. He would be arrested very quickly.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I don't think that would work. Anything else before we do Who's Back? Any other sports stories from the weekend?
Juan Soto is probably going to get traded. I've gone back and forth trying to figure out, like, am I in denial about this? Have I reached the bargaining stage of this? And right now I'm still in denial. I think that the Nationals are going to make one more offer. And if they make an offer that's like $460 million or whatever, and he turns it down, at that point it's like, I don't know if that's worse, because it's not like I can blame the team for cheaping out on it, because they're giving him a shitload of money, and it's not deferred money either, like they did with Scherzer and Strasburg, or they tried to do with Rendon too. This is straight up like, okay, here's a normal, gigantic baseball deal for you. You don't have to wait 20 years to collect all of it. And we can't blame the team for cheaping out at that point. But at the same time, it's almost a little bit worse, because he's just saying, no, like, I, no matter how much money you pay me, I do not want to play in Washington, D.C. for the rest of my career. So that kind of stings too. And at this point, it's like, okay, if he doesn't want to take that deal, then we'll have to trade him away, get a bunch of good players, hopefully, for him. And you know what? We won a World Series, so we'll always have that at least.
Yes. And he is the rare case where I don't think any dollar amount is enough, because you're signing him. I think he's 23 years old right now. And so I think he's got a couple more years of arbitration and then it would be like 26, maybe 27, where he's a free agent. Like, it is a very rare case where a lot of times in baseball, especially like 15, 20 years ago, guys would just get paid for past, you know, what they did in the past and not what they're going to be in the future. You're getting the future for him, and he is worth like every dollar. I actually saw someone set up like a dollar amount, like what each player is worth to the franchise. And like, it was like for the Dodgers to trade to the Nationals. And it was like nine players. It was like nine players would be worth what he can bring to the team. That's how fucking good he is.
Yeah. He is worth every single penny. He's so fucking good. And I've just kind of, I guess I've reached the point where I'm like, okay, it's probably better if we trade him. I don't want to trade him. I want him to be a Nat for life. I want him to accept that deal and retire when he's 38 in DC. And I want to watch him play for my favorite team for the next like 14 years. That would be awesome. But the reality is, if he doesn't take this contract, then he just doesn't want to play in DC, and you have to get what you can for him. And as it stands right now, he would get three more postseasons with whatever team that we would trade him to before he reached free agency. So he's still worth a lot right now. He's worth a lot in terms of trade. So I hope he changes his mind. Juan, listen to me. Don't make me beg, Juan. I will beg if that's what it takes. But listen, if you're gonna go somewhere, please just get a gigantic haul and make the Nationals competitive again, because it stinks having a team that's this bad to root for.
Yeah, but it is true. Like, you should be rooting for a trade, because he could basically revitalize the entire farm system with just one guy. That's right. How good he is.
Right.
You could basically set up your entire future with one guy. All right, let's do Who's Back of the Week, and then we'll get to Frankie Muniz, and then we'll finish up with Mount Rushmore with Billy's return.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike. If you want to join Buns of Anarchy,
wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Who's back of the week? Henry.
My who's back of the week is extremely insensitive graphics.
Oh, yeah.
MLB on Fox yesterday. It was Yankees, Red Sox in the Bronx. And coming back from commercial, the MLB on Fox team had a nice graphics package that was a nice aerial view of the site where the Twin Towers were. It's now a memorial. There's two
pools where the buildings were.
And on this aerial view, they filled the two pools, their two big squares, with logos of the Red Sox and Yankees. So just a nice little, you know, sometimes they do the Statue of Liberty, sometimes they do Times Square. MLB on Fox decided to go with the always fun and lighthearted 9/11 memorial.
Yeah, you could have picked any other location, probably in the world, but definitely in the United States. Any other space of land, and they went with that one.
It was shocking. I don't who thought that was going to be a good idea. Like, because I'm usually not. Whenever Twitter and people get up in arms about something, I'm usually like, just chill out. Like, it's not the end of the world. This one was just more like, who the fuck thought that was going to be a good idea ever? Like, it wasn't like I was personally offended. I was more like, how the fuck did you not realize that this would actually be offensive to a lot of people?
Yeah. And that's where it's like, they always are like, oh, the intern that did this is getting fired. It's like, there's no way that for a Saturday night broadcast for Red Sox Yankees, that's just like a, you know, intern make some graphics. We're not going to look at them. We'll just run them. Like, that was the conversation probably went similar. Like, ironically enough, like, you know, we always do the Statue of Liberty. Like, what's something new we can do? Like, what's the new space? And someone was like, what about the 9/11 memorial? And someone was like, yes, that's
never
it.
Been done.
Go forward with that one.
Yeah,
they could have done any other place. They could have done 3 Mile Island. They could have done anything. You name it, just not that one location.
Did you guys see though? Because then someone said they like the same MLB on Fox had tweeted the. Did you see? It was like the Devil Rays. It was a graphic from a few years ago. And I forget what the actual stats were, but it was like number of hits that this player has versus number of hits that this whole team has. And it was two bars going upwards with Devil Rays logos floating around them.
Yeah. I remember that.
Like, it looked like it looked like the towers and the Devil Rays were the planes. Like, it was one of those things where after seeing that, it was like, this is something weird is going on. Like, this is too much of a coincidence.
Jesus.
I'll send the graphic. It was that one was, oh, what the fuck? Sorry. I just got a weird update on my computer.
It was so stupid that Twitter started marking it as sensitive material and blurring it. You know, when it's like you need to opt in, that's how stupid it was that Twitter was like, yeah, Fox just put fucking baseball graphics on where the Twin Towers went down. This shouldn't be seen. That's how fucking dumb it was.
Yeah, good rule of thumb is if you're doing a national broadcast in sports, just don't mention 9/11 or make any reference to 9/11. There's really no upside to it whatsoever. Unless it's George Bush's first pitch that he threw out in Yankee Stadium, in which case, yes, I will watch that every chance that I get.
Yes.
It was Tampa Bay Rays' entire payroll for the past 4 years was $233 million. Wander Franco's 12-year contract extension, $223 million. So it's two bars that are equally the same size. And then there's two Devil Rays like floating around them at different heights.
Holy shit. This is wild.
So oh yeah, they got God. MLB on Fox has some PR to do.
Yeah, they got it. They got to figure this one out. They got to have a big meeting about this one.
I also have another one, but I think one of you guys is going to talk about it.
Yeah, so I do. I'm going to talk about it. Go ahead, PFT.
Okay, my who's back of the week is SEC Media Days. It's this week. And SEC Media Days for the coaches are some of the best days. It's not going to be the same without having Spurrier around. It's been like that for the last couple of years. But that's always when Spurrier that was his time to shine, when he'd just go out there and just make fun of every other fan base in the SEC. So I miss that still. But tomorrow we get Brian Kelly, who's probably going to have a translator next to him so that everybody can make sure that they understand what he's saying. And then Lane Kiffin is going tomorrow. But I absolutely love SEC Media Days because it always stokes the rivalry. And I'm sure this year we're going to get some content between Nick Saban and Jumbo Fisher. And it's going to be incredible. Jimbo's going to be like ready to slap him in the face. And then
yes.
who knows what Nick Saban's going to say, if he's going to take the high road or not. Lane Kiffin's always fun. Brian Kelly's going to be fun just because he's brand new. So yeah, SEC Media Days are back. I can't wait to see, because that means that football is back.
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm sure Jimbo and Nick Saban are going to get like Greg Sankey's going to put them in a hotel suite and just be like, you guys don't say a fucking word. Both of you guys like are in the doghouse with me, because that's how the SEC always does this shit. That's why they've ascended to where they are, is Greg Sankey is like probably the best commissioner in any sport, in any like league, in anything. So we won't get the fireworks, but there will be the tension there that we want to see.
There'll be the tension, and also just the coaches that are in the SEC. Every one of them, it's a must watch. Like Mike Leach on an open mic. That's appointment television right there.
Yeah, he'll just go forever. All right, my who's back, I think this is what Hank was alluding to, is LeBron. He played in the Drew League. I actually tuned in. It was a dude holding his cell phone in like the back row, and they had it on the NBA app. I tuned in for a minute. LeBron cooked some guy and then missed a three, and I was like, I've seen enough. That's exactly what I want to see, because I know that I'm sure he had some like crazy highlights. But it was crazy that like on a Saturday afternoon, everyone was furiously trying to get on the NBA app, which it just kept on like shitting out on me. But there was, it was quite literally a guy with his cell phone, just videotaped. Like half of the screen was just the fans in front of him. But I guess that just tells you what LeBron does. He shows up to the Drew League, and that's what happens. I would imagine his Nike sponsorship, they're probably not so happy because the Drew League is sponsored by Adidas. Someone should point that out.
Well,
probably a lot of money lost.
Explain to me like I'm an idiot. What is the Drew League?
There's all yeah,
California Summer League.
Yeah,
it's in California. There was a few years ago. There was like memories that came up because it was like when Kobe played. I remember this, and I think it was Brandon Jennings got mad because he wasn't from California. Like it used to be a super, super like LA only, just like pickup game. And then obviously, like during the lockout, a lot of NBA players played in it, and that kind of blew it up. But it's just like a summer league that like NBA players will occasionally play in. Obviously when the lockout happened, they were playing in it like every day, but it's just like a LA elite pickup game.
Yeah, there's certain ones. I think there's one in New York as well, and they're basically like some NBA players, like DeMar DeRozan was playing in it. And then
he's from LA.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like he was playing in it yesterday. Like there's NBA players who play in it, and then like very good guys who were good in college who might play overseas just to, you know, keep sharp. And the Kobe one was awesome when he hit that game winner and like everyone just mobbed him, and LeBron just wants to be Kobe. So that's why
he had two NBAs, him and DeRozan. They won by two. Like that's tough.
It was
DeRozan probably carried him, if we're being honest.
Was Kyrie going to play? I saw that there was talk he would show up this year.
Kyrie was at, so there was rumors that Kyrie was going to play because he was at, I think one of his former coaches is now an assistant coach for the Lakers, and he was at his summer camp, like doing drills and stuff. So that's
why he might play today.
Yeah.
I saw a couple
he was
highlights.
Play. That was just Kyrie just didn't show up, but
yeah,
he was supposed to play.
That's weird that Kyrie would do that. I saw a couple of highlights of dudes trying to guard LeBron, and they were trying the hardest that they've ever tried at basketball in their entire lives because they're like, this is my moment.
Oh, yeah.
To shut LeBron down, then LeBron would just hit him with a casual spin move and then walk away, and the guys would be like, damn it.
They should know, though, that if they ever do anything good against LeBron, it will just get erased from the internet, like that last time when he got dunked on at that camp. And then
by a high
just,
schooler.
Yeah, and then it got erased from everywhere. But yeah, Adidas, shout out Adidas, sponsor of the Drew League. Nice little pub for them. I also saw LeBron dapped up LeVar, which was nice because you know LeVar was like, I could kill you one-on-one if I wanted to.
They should let LeVar play in the Drew League.
Imagine the ratings, just one-on-one LeVar versus LeBron. Would be so great. I'd watch that. Like, this is the time right now when we just fell off a sports cliff with the Open Championship being over. Give us LeVar versus LeBron one-on-one.
And we'll just take whatever tiny little highlight that LeVar has or whatever minor. Like, LeBron dribbles the ball off his foot one time. Boom. That's the highlight for the entire tournament.
Yeah, LeVar. That would be the easiest. That would be 11-0.
Oh,
that would be 11-0. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Jake, finish us off with who's back.
My who's back is the booth. Fortunately, I am back this weekend. ESPN yes. Plus, Saturday night. We have Redwoods Atlas and Whipsnakes Chaos. So thank you to ESPN and the PLL for giving me another chance. I'm excited.
Let's go, Jake.
Tune in.
You've done a great job in the booth so far. I keep waiting to pounce on a mistake that you make, and you're not giving me any opportunity. You're pro's pro.
Thank you. Don't jinx it. But yeah, two more games Saturday night. I'll be in Fairfield, Connecticut. And yeah, please tune in.
Does that make you nervous, Jake, knowing that we're watching and we're like, if you screw up just even a little bit, we are going to make it the biggest deal ever?
I'm just going to tune this out and see what happens on Saturday.
We're okay, announcers well, we'll jinxing be tuning you.
In. Yeah, yeah.
So you just want me to screw up?
No.
Maybe.
No. Just bit. Say no, PFT. We know we do.
No.
What we're saying is if you do screw up, we will make it. Like, you thought that we were hard on Tom Brenneman. Like, we're going nuclear on you.
Yeah.
Let's just hope it's something, it's a mistake that we can joke about after, and it's nothing like, oh no.
Yeah, like maybe you have a cheesesteak before the game with lettuce and tomatoes on it, and then you have to just run out of the booth real quick and crap yourself.
No, that would be too much.
And let me just say to all the AWLs, the offer still stands. If you don't watch this, we will come and murder you. And also, you can help us out by nitpicking everything Jake does and sending it to us.
Fair enough. The All-Star game happened this weekend. They had a rule after you guys.
Yeah.
The bonus ball.
That's cool. I love it.
What was the final score? What was the final score?
I believe it was 33-13. So it was
okay. So it worked. So the over probably hit. So more points. That's all you need in an All-Star game. All-Star game should always, the over should always hit in the All-Star game. I'm not just saying that because I lost betting the over in the WNBA All-Star game last week, but every All-Star game, the over should hit. That should just be a rule. It should be like a free bet for everyone who watches the All-Star game. Everyone wants to see points. No one wants to see defense.
Every All-Star game should have a bunch of points and then like one old guy in his last year that retires and gets a big curtain call. That's all I want out of the All-Star game.
Yes, exactly. Okay, let's get to our interview. And then on the other side of the interview, we have the return of Billy Football with Mount Rushmore. Before we do the interview, PFT, you had a sponsor.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. I'm not even going to say actor. He's a race car driver. He's a truck driver, right? Like, should we just do it that way now? It's Frankie Muniz.
Yes. I've been fortunate to do a lot of different things in my life, but my main focus is racing. That's, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get to kind of look back at my life and think of the things I've gotten to do in the past and where I really want to focus my future. And that's where I feel the most at home. But there's also a weird element. We were just talking about, I have a 15-month-old son, and I feel like most people, when they have a kid, slow down and want to do less dangerous things.
Yeah.
Me, it was more, I wanted him to be able to watch me going after, like grow up with me going after my dream.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the passion and the hard work, and rather than me just sitting at home, you know, or being some lame actor. I gotta work for this. I want you to, you know.
I think you're not a lame actor, but is that so? Obviously, you know, it's great to have you in here. The people will know you as an actor, but are you hoping that someday you're known more as a race car driver or truck driver? It's truck, right?
Well,
let's back up.
Yeah. So, you know, motorsports in general, I started racing in 2005. I was doing open wheel stuff like IndyCar, Formula One. I raced in Champ Car Atlantics. I got really badly hurt in 2009. I broke my back, pins put in my hand, broken ankle, broken everything. And always thought I'd go back racing. I always knew I had, in my mind, unfinished business, but the injuries took a pretty long time to heal, so I missed the next season. And then life takes over.
Right.
You know what I mean? I joined a band. I was on tour and always said I'd go back racing, but the years just keep passing by. I'm 36. I'm not getting any younger. It's a young man's sport. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it. And I want to be able to look back and go, you know what? I accomplished what I was going after.
Yeah.
And I felt like this was what I want to do. Like I said, I raced open wheel stuff. I love the idea of racing in NASCAR.
I love that idea for you.
Yes. I want that to happen for you. Yes.
Let's do that.
So this past couple months, I've been doing a lot of stock car stuff, pro late models, with the intention, yes, that I want to race trucks, I want to race in the Xfinity Series, ARCA, NASCAR. But I'm saying motorsports in general because I just want to race cars.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I want to be a race car driver.
Yeah,
you know, I want to go fast.
Yeah,
you know? That's awesome. What's the fastest you've ever been?
Probably 205.
Damn.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, the tracks that you go really, like the really high speed tracks actually don't feel as fast as some of the smaller tracks. Like, I'll be going 100 miles an hour. You're on the limit. That's when you feel like you're going fast. You, right. You have the car sideways. So, you know, it's not just about like that top speed. But, you know, I did the ARCA test at Daytona at the beginning of this year. You know, you're going 190, 200 miles an hour. But it doesn't – you want to go faster.
Like, right.
You know, it's just a big, big place. So big. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
It's all relative.
Is speed addictive?
You know what's funny? I feel like once I became a race car driver, I actually go a lot slow, like in real life, like mm-hmm. In my cars. I don't want a sports car anymore. I ride motorcycles, but like I've gone from having super sport bikes to like cruisers because like there's nothing like the speed of being in a race car or like driving on the limit with other people in the street. I'm just going to get in trouble. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't know if speed is necessarily addictive as much as the competitive, like I'm super competitive. I want to win. I want to beat you. You right. know what I mean? And I think that's more addictive. You know what I mean? Like the working hard and
going
seeing
faster
those results.
Than the other guy.
Right. Yeah, going
is,
faster than the other guy.
Better
yeah.
than just like going fast.
If we're
in
racing smart cars, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And going 50 miles an hour, like I just want to beat you. That's what is addictive, not right. necessarily the just going fast.
Your career is crazy because, you know, we're the same age as you, so we remember Malcolm in the Middle. We mm-hmm. remember watching it. I think there's a preconceived notion with child actors where it's like, oh, a child actor, like, that's got to suck when they grow up. And I love, you can tell me I'm way off. I love that you are very open with, no, my life is pretty sweet. I get to do everything yeah. I want to do.
Well, I know there's most child actors, yes, do have a ginormous decline.
Right.
Me, I've always just, as cheesy as it sounds, I've gone after my dreams. Like I look back and I go, I'm lucky.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of people look at it and go, oh, like, ugh. I know so many actors, child actors or even adult actors, who for some reason they get on these TV shows, they have all this success, but they're miserable.
Right.
And I want off the show, I want to do movies. It's like, you don't understand how lucky you are and you have it. Because it's going to end. Eventually it's going to end. So me, I went from acting, I wanted to go into racing, I wanted to push it 100%. So I kind of left the acting world, did that, I got to do the band, I've owned a bunch of businesses. I've been fortunate to do everything I've wanted to do, and I know I'm lucky, you know what I mean?
Right.
But in that same sense, I've always felt like I was running out of time. So I a lot of my passion and me going after all these things is I want to live the most fulfilled life I can, you know what I mean? For me. You know, I want right. to look back and go like, man, I didn't waste any time. Like, I got to do everything I ever dreamt of. And you know, hopefully in doing those things, I'm being the best I can be. I'm doing the best I can be with them. I'm not doing this stuff as a hobby. Like, I don't want to be a race car driver just because it's fun. I want to do it because I want to be the best. I want right. to win a championship. Right. You know, I want to win races. And I want to be remembered as a great race car driver, as well as a great actor or whatever. I'm not ashamed of anything I've done in the past. You
right.
know? Maybe a few things.
Well, that does have to be a weird feeling too. It's got to be bizarre to be able to watch back your acting and like be like, that's when I was growing up and like my formative years, and it's all on display. It's not obvious. It's scripted, so it's not reality yeah. television. But still, like to look back and be like, whoa, that's like I can't imagine the mind fuck if any of us were able to look back yeah. and see like us grow up on screen. Yeah, it's got to be a little weird.
It is. You know, it's people ask me all the time. They go, you know, are you sad that you didn't get to go to high school prom or these things? And I was like, well, no, I got so many incredible opportunities. And, you know, I was at the Academy Awards.
Right.
You know, I was at the right. Emmys. You know, I was at the Playboy Mansion when I was 15. You know,
that's pretty sick.
Way cooler than prom.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yes. Yes.
So. I don't know. You know, it was
that's like when Playboy was like,
oh, no, that's
when it was
Playboy.
Legit. Yeah,
you know,
that is all. You could have just said that.
Not yeah, not this like, word search bullshit. No, yeah, yeah.
Playboy Mansion.
You got to hang out in the grotto
yeah. all the time. so you know, I look back and I go like, no, I was completely lucky. I don't take it for granted. You know what I mean? But no, I'm sorry.
You touched on something real quick that was, it makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people in Hollywood especially are just, they don't know how to be happy.
And, right. Yeah. And just because they're being successful at whatever show is on, if they're, you know, at the top of the A-list, if they're getting invited to all the good parties, they're still not really happy. They're just
I don't know what that is. I've thought about it a lot because it took me, I think, stepping away to, you know, because when you're in it, like, it's just your life, right? Like, when you're filming a show every day, it's just what you do. You know what I mean? And maybe you don't take it all in at that time because you think, oh, yeah, this is what I do. This is what I do. I go to these shows. I go to this premiere. I have to fly here. I have to do that. And it just becomes what you do, right? But it took me, when I stepped away, I look back and I go, wow, that was awesome. And if I ever have an opportunity again or whatever I'm doing, I'm going to take full advantage of that and know that, like, this is a great experience. I want people to leave who I work with who go, man, he's a great guy. He puts 100% effort. You know, I never complain. I don't want to go home. You know, like, that's how I want to be remembered. Right. You know what I mean? But I feel like it took leaving to see that.
I think that's a healthy perspective to have, too.
Yeah.
Because if you're in it for too long, then your entire self-worth gets based on what other people are saying about you.
Yeah.
The second they turn on you, it's like it crushes you.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of child actors end up going down a bad path. Is you're also so used to your life being like everybody, you know, giving you whatever you want or doing whatever you want. And there's the endorphins or a high that come with that. And then it goes away and they need something to fill that void. And they, you know,
cocaine.
Cocaine. That fills the void. No, but I think it's also like the pressure the public puts on child actors where it's like if they don't become adult actors, it's always like, what happened to that person?
Yeah.
And it's like, what happened to Frankie Muniz? Well, he's living an awesome life and he's going after all his goals. Yeah. And that doesn't compute to a lot of people.
I remember being, you know, 17, 18, 19, I was on Malcolm still, and everyone would always be like, you know, how are you going to make that transition to adult actor? And my answer used to be like, well, when I turn 18, I'm legally an adult. If I'm still acting, I'm an adult actor. Like, I don't know. There's no like science behind it, right?
Right.
But in that same sense, I never let that change decisions I made or affect decisions or things that I wanted to do or was like, well, I have to make sure I make the right decision to get me to be an adult actor. If it works out, it does. I think one weird thing for me is I was in the height of my acting career, like on the show, and I decided to like say, hey, I'm not going to do any more. I want to go race. I want to do this. I want to focus on this. I want to, you know, if I'm going to do something, I want to do it 100%. And I don't know if a lot of people know that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe in some eyes they think that I failed as an actor or I didn't make it. You know what I mean?
But right.
In the end, like, I know I'm happy with the decisions I made. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't help but think that at times where I go, like, what if I did stay? Like, where would I be or what would have happened?
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think me as a person, the best thing I could have done is what I did.
I think it's a healthier choice that you made. Like a much, much better for your mental health to do something like that than to like be wrapped up in something that you might not have as like a long-term goal. Then you're just like fighting, trying to be happy.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're always fighting against the possibility of being upset. But I guess you, the only career decision I would say that I would vehemently disagree with is becoming a Clippers fan.
Yeah.
Because you are the only Clippers fan.
Well, Penny Marshall's passed away. So, and Billy Crystal, right? I think, is
maybe. Yeah, but
the
he only goes
one.
To the big games.
Yeah, he's not a real one.
You are the world's
Jimmy
only
Tatro,
Clippers fan.
Jimmy Tatro, huge Clippers fan. Our friend Jimmy
Tatro.
That's
true. Yeah.
Well, see,
enormous Clippers fan.
I became a Clippers fan because I played like NBA Live 94 on Super Nintendo or whatever it was. And the Clippers were the only team that I didn't mind deleting all the players because I didn't know who any of them were. And I put myself, my dad, and of course I was 99 everything. My cat was a player. You know what I mean? Like, so then I was like, well, I'm going to be a Clippers fan. Right? I grew up in New Jersey.
Is that really?
Know?
That's really the story. How
that's
really
amazing.
Story. That's awesome.
And so
I take you back. I'm glad you're a Clippers fan.
So then in 97 or whatever was like the first time I went to LA. Like, I went to a Clippers game at the sports arena and there was like seven people there. And I don't know. I loved it. Like, I loved, even though they didn't win often, I loved having a team that I supported and you know, but I spent a lot of money going to games to be miserable.
Yep.
And that's one of the things I look back and I go like, wow, I literally paid money to be angry.
Yeah. Every day. That's sports fandom, though. Yeah, like, that's every – like, there's only one winner every year.
I'm a Washington Commanders fan. Yeah. I get it. Okay, but you did yours by choice, though. Yeah. That's the difference. Like, I just kind of had to be because I grew up around it. You're like, you know what? Yeah, the Clippers, that seems like a good investment.
If you saw that I have in storage bins of like – everything that I could find, because you rarely could find Clippers stuff.
Right.
You know, like if you go to sports stores, nobody had Clippers stuff because nobody bought it. But if I found it, I bought everything. I have every Clippers item I could ever find for like 20 years.
So whose side did you take in the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin saga? Answer carefully.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
One of them's a friend of ours.
Both of them are friends of mine.
Okay. But who's a better guy?
I don't know.
Careful.
See, I don't want to be put on a spy. Like, I don't,
just be honest.
Yeah.
But be careful.
So 1A, 1B. Be careful.
I was a big Blake Griffin
guy. Yeah, there we go.
Good answer. Good choice.
Good job, Frankie.
I live in Phoenix now, though. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm not necessarily a Suns fan, but I root for the city.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I want, you know, and obviously, you know, Chris Paul's done great with the Suns.
Oh, has he?
I guess. Well, like seeding wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really won anything of note. Yeah.
Well, better than the Clippers.
Yeah.
You got to be excited about this year, though, right? Like John Wall, this is the year, right? Kawhi maybe coming back. Maybe.
I've said this is the year every year since 1994. You know, so I don't know. You know, like, you know, to be honest, I'm going to be 100% in front with you guys. I have not watched a basketball game in maybe 3 years.
Oh wow!
So to be honest, I'm just being. Yeah, I don't know what happened because like it was literally my life. Like all I cared about was the Clippers and basketball.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
You were a Clippers fan. That's probably the answer.
That probably.
Why don't I like this anymore?
Well, they became like super trendy too. Yeah. Like, they kind of became like cool. It's not as cool to be a Clipper fan.
When they traded away Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
You stopped watching basketball.
That's loyalty right there.
I respect that.
Yes.
I love that. That's it. 100%.
Well, the other thing I was wondering, your Twitter is very funny.
Is it?
I think it's, well, just like, you know, it'll pop up every now and then. You'll go viral. I do love the one time I have this, someone said, I don't even know if you remember this. Someone said, your acting is just awful. Sorry, but it is. And you replied, yeah, but being retired with $40 million at 19 has not been awful. Good luck moving out of your mom's house before you're 35. Yeah. I just love that.
Look, sometimes people, the internet is filled with hate, right? And people sling mud because they can.
Yep.
And I never but every once in a while, you have to punch back.
Yes, yes. You got to slap some people around just to let them know.
You know what? You're right. Yeah. Yes. My acting is awful, but you know what's not? So, I don't know. Sometimes I just had to punch back.
Yeah. Well, is it objectively awful if you're getting paid for it? Somebody thinks it's good, right?
Well, look, I've never claimed to be a good actor, right? I was an actor. Mm-hmm. I did what they told me to do. I said what they told me to say, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
sure. Up,
yeah, right. And the other one I wanted to read to you that's very funny is you said you know when you look in the mirror and realize you'll never be as good looking as Zac Efron and you'll always be Frankie Muniz looking motherfucker? Imagine being Frankie Muniz.
Yeah, you know, I know where I stand.
Right.
You know, I wasn't a heartthrob. I was not in a lot of Teen Beat magazines. You know, mm-hmm. I was a funny, awkward kid and it worked for Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got a couple more examples here. This one's a little darker. Maybe you can explain this one. I have about 4 dreams a week that I get shot in. Last night, I could actually feel the burn of bullets as they entered my chest and heart. Do you still, like, constantly dream about getting shot?
I do, actually. I'm not, like, a dream person, right? Where, like, someone, I'm sure, can tell me that means something is haunting me in my life or whatever it may be. But honestly, like, I have those dreams all the time, and they're awful.
That sounds, it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
4 times a week? Do you have any enemies?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean that
apparently.
I would be afraid to fall asleep if I were you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. I honestly like I wake up all the time with that like the feeling of just like, oh good, thank goodness I woke up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You might just have sleep apnea.
Maybe.
That's I've always heard that like if you experience something painful in your sleep, you can just write it off as sleep apnea.
You
go get a mask and then you stop dreaming about that weird stuff.
Maybe. I really truly feel like I know what it feels like to be shot.
That's crazy.
I mean, I don't shoot me. I don't want to like find
you
out.
You already know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
That's nuts.
Yeah.
What you also, I mean, your career has been fascinating. You're in the olive oil business?
Yeah.
Still?
Not anymore. We sold the company.
Okay, because I was going to say, did you just do that so people could be like, he might be in the mafia? Because that's like, that's yeah. all you hear, like olive oil business. What made you do that?
To be honest, my wife, we were looking at businesses that she could be have or do, and we randomly had gone to this olive oil company, and they were like, it's for sale. And I was like, I'll buy it.
Okay.
Another one of those on a whim, like I knew I loved business. I wanted to be involved. Like I love kind of the behind the scenes aspect of businesses. And it was something that she was passionate about. And we did it. And then it ended up becoming like a huge passion of mine. Like
That's crazy.
I loved everything about the business and olive oil and the benefits and the science behind it. And we sourced from 14 different countries. We got everything tested by a third party to make sure it was the highest rated olive oil, the freshest in the country. And we became one of the biggest olive oil companies in the U.S.
And you
quickly.
Sold it for a profit?
Sold, oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's one of those things we look back at now. We go, like, that was pretty cool. But, like, in it was way more work than you could imagine.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was definitely – it's not an easy business. Like,
right.
It's very – time-consuming, and she had gotten pregnant, and a couple came up to us, and they were like, we love your business. Like, would you ever want to sell it? And I said a stupid number, and it was there as a week later.
That's
you know?
Amazing.
That's great.
So, I mean, we do miss it. You know, we miss having a business, but at the same time, like, we had the baby. And
now
you know,
can go buy another business exactly. if you want. Yeah.
So at the time, when you were selling olive oil, did people know, like, this was your olive oil company?
I mean, I was there pretty much every day. We had a storefront, and there were times where people would be like, why are you here? Like, why are you you're selling olive oil now? I'm like, yeah, but I own it.
It's fun.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. Like, it was one of those things that, like, that was what I wanted to focus on, and I wanted us to be as big as we could, and we worked really, really hard at it. And that's just kind of what I try to do with everything I do. And
yeah,
you know, especially now with motorsports again.
This is great, because I, like, you really do have a fascinating career. I also...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's, like, a moment in time that some of our listeners probably won't realize, but, like I said, we're the same age as you. You were on the first ever episode of Punk'd.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is shit that should be remembered forever, because Punk'd was a huge, huge cultural yeah. phenomenon. You were, you know, at the nadir of your, like, acting. So what'd they do? How were you Punk'd?
I did a movie with Sean Levy, who now created and directs Stranger Things and all that. And Ashton had did a movie with him as well. And they called and said, we want to pitch you an idea for a movie. So I met them at the Standard Hotel. And I had a big car collection then. And I think they were assuming I was going to drive. There's a big backstory behind it. But anyway, I show up at the hotel, and Dax, who wasn't Dax then.
Right.
I didn't know who Dax was.
He's just
was.
A guy. Right. He's like Ashton's buddy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Ashton's assistant. He's like, the parking lot's full, park across the street. So he helps me get across the street, park my car, go in, have the meeting with Ashton and Sean Levy. And a bunch of – some weird things happened that they didn't show, like, in the hotel that I think that they thought I would, like, question. But it was L.A. You know
right.
what I mean? I was like, oh, yeah.
Weird
you know,
shit.
People
yeah.
are fighting. It's fine. And I go out, and the valet said that Dax wanted me to move my car, and he took it. And, like, so it was a 1956 Porsche Speedster. It was a very – like, a car I never drove and never parked, but I was late, and I don't know. I don't know why I brought it. And I freaked out, and I had left my phone in the car, which worked great for the episode.
Right.
Because then I'm calling my phone, Dax answers.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, dude, you're in my car. You know, it was this whole thing, but
that's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. It was me and Justin Timberlake on the first episode.
Yeah. That's incredible.
I think all you have to do on that show is not, like, flip out and threaten to assault somebody, and then everybody will love you.
Yeah. I think it was the first time, like, I, like said a bad word on TV. You know what I mean? I was like started cursing out the valet guy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, they were probably like, that's awesome. That's a yeah. perfect soundbite. It's like Frankie Muniz being like, you motherfucker. It's yeah. like, we got him.
But then they end up, my car drives into the parking lot and Ashton gets out. And he's like, you got punked. I'm like, where's the asshole who stole my car? You know, yeah. I didn't even understand what they were talking about.
Because punked wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a show. Thing. I'm like, how'd you find
God.
It?
He's like, you'll understand what that means in 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's perfect. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's something people probably won't. Some people won't understand how big punked became.
Oh, no, that was,
and how big you were yeah. and all of that coming together.
That was a huge, huge show.
Yeah. That's you incredible. And Justin Timberlake first punked.
I do have a couple Malcolm in the Middle questions.
Okay.
Just because like Big Cat said, we did grow up watching it.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard this one a million times, but Bryan Cranston as the father on the show,
yep.
a lot of people don't realize that when Breaking Bad finished, he included like a spoof throwaway scene of like in, I think it was a DVD box set being yeah. like, all of Breaking Bad was just a dream that I had on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, yeah.
But working with him as an actor, there's clearly always been something incredible about the way he goes about his business. And like being on that show, he really helped to make that show. Was he like intimidating at all to work with? Or how was that for you as like a young actor working with somebody that was so like great at their profession?
You know how I said that I want people to work with me and have nothing but positive things to say? I learned that from Bryan. Honestly, the most amazing human alive. You know what I mean? He showed up to work 100% professional. He'd be off camera. You know, some people throw away their line. He did the same performance every time, and just the nicest guy. So as far as me, like, you know, when we were on Malcolm, it was, he was Bryan Cranston, but he wasn't, I think, the Bryan Cranston that right. Bryan Cranston is now.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm so happy for him, the success he's had since. I mean, Breaking Bad was insane, amazing. He's such a good actor. But I don't know. I wouldn't say intimidating, because he really became like a father figure to me. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, he's still to this day, the show ended 16 years ago, he still calls all the time to check in. Bryan Cranston calls me.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
That's very cool.
Because he cares. And that's, I'll always remember that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to anyone else from the show.
Oh. No, print that.
I'm kidding.
Fuck you, Dewey.
They don't call me.
No, that's awesome. Actually, that's the exact right answer that I wanted to hear.
Yeah. Because, no, he's
like,
so cool.
You have an impression of people. You never know what they're like until yeah. you actually sit down and know them for a while. But he's always struck me as somebody that, like, everyone has positive things to say.
Yeah.
And working with him closely at that time, must have been really interesting to see him, like, because that's the role that I think took him from being, you know, like a kind of mid-name
yeah.
for TV actors, and it like elevated him, because on a show that was kind of, it was sitcom-y, but it was, you know, single camera, it was a little bit different, but it took him and elevated him to really like the top tier of television actors, which just launched him into a different stratosphere.
Yeah, what's funny is when we did the pilot, they didn't have him cast until the day we started filming. Like, it was like they couldn't find, and they're like, oh, I guess it'll work. And then they were going to write that character kind of out of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But Bryan was so good. You know what I mean? I rewatched all the, because I'd never seen him when they aired. I rewatched all the episodes with my wife a few years ago. And to me, Bryan made that show. Like, his comedy, and like, he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we ever met him, we were literally on set ready to film the first scene. And it was the scene where our mom is shaving him at the kitchen table of the first episode. And he comes on set, and he had like a skin toned Speedo on, and he's all covered in hair. He's like, hey, I'm Bryan, I'm gonna be your dad, you know. And he's just the coolest guy, like, you know. And so it's weird to think that if any actor on the show, on most shows, were, if he didn't get cast,
mm-hmm.
the show would have been completely different.
Like, yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't have been nearly as successful or not. And then you wouldn't have had, if you think the domino effect, there would have been no Breaking Bad. There would have been no, you know, like,
yeah,
man, Better
yeah.
Call Saul.
We're so lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just watched the series all the way through a couple years ago for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like?
You know, it's funny because I could watch it as like a spectator, as a fan. Like, I didn't see it as me. You know what I mean? And then also, we did so many episodes, I actually didn't remember what most what happens in most of the episodes, so I could actually watch it. But it definitely changed my perspective of what the show was. Like, like the comedy, even. When we were filming it or we were doing it, I imagined that the show was different than it actually ended up being. You know what I mean? And there were characters that, when I was filming, I was like, this is stupid. That actually were my favorite, like, ended up becoming some of my favorite moments when I rewatched the show. You know what I mean? But I enjoyed it. You know, there's been a lot of, I don't know, speculation about, like, my memory. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I feel like I did so much, like, so many episodes, so many things, and you just kind of do it. You film. But I think the biggest thing for me is I don't distinguish. There's three things. Things that I dreamt, I go, like, did that happen? Because I've had so many crazy dreamlike things happen in reality. But then also, like, most of my life and most of my childhood, I was pretending to be someone else. You know what I mean? And, like, doing things that I had to do that weren't really me. You know, so there's an element of, like...
Yeah, you were Malcolm, right?
Yeah, you know.
I also think, like, if you're a performer, if you're doing... Like, for example, we do this show. We've done it 3 days a week for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. I don't remember much, like... 30 minutes after the show, I don't really remember what I said.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes people to, like, remind us the next day, and they, like, send us a quote that we said on the show. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great. But, like, you don't necessarily absorb all this stuff as you're doing it.
My memory of Malcolm, or filming Malcolm, is what I've now seen on camera. Right. Because that's the last, you know, like, I see that. Or, you know, my memory of most of my life comes from, like, seeing pictures. So I see it almost from the outside. I don't necessarily, I don't know what that is. If it was that you just do so much, or you talk so much, or you do so many shows that they all kind of come together.
Yeah.
Or you get used to kind of being in the moment and doing it, and then, you know, go on to the next part of your life. But yeah, I don't know.
What did happen? I know you mentioned your health. Like, there was a moment there where I think I remember reading it was like amnesia or something. You had concussions.
Yeah, I've had 9 concussions, which is not great. You know what I mean?
Are those all car crashes?
No, a lot. I played football and basketball. I played every sport when I was growing up, and you always fell and hit my head. I'm really close to the ground, so it's easy to hit my head on the ground. No, so there's that, and then I was... And this only recently figured out, wrongfully diagnosed with having TIAs, like mini strokes, transient ischemic attacks. I was having these episodes where, like, I lose my vision, I couldn't recognize faces, couldn't talk, like, all this kind of stuff. And it was happening pretty regularly. And I was told that I was having mini strokes or TIAs, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Only to find out after doing, like, continuing to go, because they would do all these tests and none of the things that should have shown up were showing up, but they were still kind of saying, yeah, it's this. Finally, I had a doctor really kind of look into it, and it ends up I was just having aura migraines.
Huh.
Which still, like, sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's still awful to have those episodes. But part of the story of how it kind of spread, you know, I did Dancing with the Stars in 2017, and they have an episode where it's the most memorable year episode. And they told me that my most memorable year was 2001.
They told you it.
And I go, I don't really have anything to talk. I don't really know what happened in 2000. Like, I don't know what to say. And they're like, why? And I go, and they're interviewing me. And the way it got cut together, the way they put it was that I have zero memory of anything.
Huh.
And then... press took it, and now if you search my name, it basically says I don't remember, like,
anything,
like 50 first dates. My wife has to wake up every morning and, like, tell me who she is, and this is your son, and she plays a video.
Yeah,
you know, like, no, I know I was Malcolm. I did a lot of stuff. I don't remember everything.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, there's I oftentimes, like, have not memory issues, but, like, there's definitely a lot of things that I don't, like, someone will remind me of something, be like, oh yeah, I don't really remember that.
And I was with my grandpa yesterday. He's 95 years old. You know what I mean? And he's like, do you remember we went to that Papa John's? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, right.
My 95-year-old grandpa can remember, but I don't. You know
but
what
it
mean?
Was memorable for him. It might not have been, like, that sticking point for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like to now talk about it a little bit, because now that I have a better understanding of what it is, or what I think it is, you know, because people come up to me all the time and they're like, oh, do you know who you are?
That's crazy.
Your name's Frankie Muniz. You were an actor. You're now trying to be a race car driver. You know.
That's nuts.
But the aura migrate, is there anything that you can do to like stop those or slow them
down
at least?
I'm trying to figure out now if there's something that triggers it. You know what I mean? Like, am I eating something? Right. You know what I mean? Or is it high stress situations? I'm trying to figure that out now. But I haven't had one in a few years.
Oh, good. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Yep. So now, right now, I can't see.
Yeah.
You're allergic to olive oil. That's probably what it was.
It would be great for the show.
Might have fixed it.
Yeah. It would be great for the show if you had one right now. I'm not saying
Do you want
anything,
a fake one?
Yeah.
Where am I?
I have another random thing I read that is kind of a sad one, but you met Dale Earnhardt right before he passed away, right?
I did, yes.
That's nuts.
I was at the 2001 Daytona 500 because Malcolm had premiered the year before. I was the Grand Marshal. I drove the pace car, and I was a big racing fan at that point. And I got to go into the driver's meeting, and as everyone was getting in their cars, I was on the grid. Dale Earnhardt came up to me, and he goes, "I just have to say, he's like, you've brought me and my daughter so much closer, your show. He's like, I love your show. I'm a huge fan." I'm like, "Oh, Dale Earnhardt."
Yeah.
And he signed my jacket, and he got in his car. So, like, other than his crew chief, essentially, I was the last person to talk to him. And we were in the M&M's car, Ken Schrader's pit, and he's the car who crashed into Dale Earnhardt. And my mom was hanging out with the owner of the track, and after the race, everyone was kind of worried, but nobody really knew anything. And I went to the hotel to watch the Clippers game. Mm-hmm. I ran upstairs to watch the Clippers game, and it was like breaking news. They announced that he had died. And I remember I ran down to the lobby to tell my mom, and she was with the track owner and everything. They didn't even know. I broke the news to the whole bar.
Holy fuck. And
like, it was just a crazy, like, super somber experience.
That's insane.
That is, yeah.
And so
how old were you?
15, yeah.
And they let you drive the pace car.
Yeah, it was a Pontiac Aztec.
Yeah. And that didn't deter you at all from wanting to be a race car driver?
I mean, obviously, you know, there's danger in racing. I think that specific incident changed the racing world in a huge way to be a lot safer. They
right.
implemented the Hans device then after that. And, like, you know, obviously, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, like, people died. You knew that two or three guys were not going to make it through the season.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's definitely become a lot safer. Granted, you're doing something dangerous. My thing is, you know, an air conditioner can fall out of a, you know, a window and crush me today.
That's,
you know,
my biggest fear.
Well,
it really is.
You really don't know.
Right.
You know, I know when I'm in the race car, I'm trying to go as fast as possible. And I'm not saying that you feel invincible. You know something can happen, but you can't think about that.
Right.
Like, if you're thinking about that, or if there's fear in you, then don't be a race car driver. You're
right.
not gonna be fast.
Yeah,
you know?
That's that like watching F1, like the Drive to Survive, when they're talking about having to be on the edge and just always be like pushing to that limit of you're basically almost crashing at all times.
And if there's anything in you that's like, I don't want to get to that, you just got passed.
Yeah.
You're done.
That's when
you retire.
Do you think people getting into F1 right now, just from the Netflix, like, we're very casual fans, do you look down on it at all?
No, I think it's awesome. I mean, because I was racing open wheel cars 15 years ago, and it was, being in the U.S., nobody really understood what it was. I would try to explain, like, you know, IndyCar, Formula One, they're like, is it NASCAR? You know, people mm-hmm. really knew that. So it's kind of cool that, you know, motorsports in general in the U.S. is growing. And I think, you know, more F1 fans will bring more IndyCar fans, which will bring more NASCAR fans. You know, because once you get into the sport of racing, once you get into kind of watching it, you understand it more, and the stories and what drivers don't like each other. And that's kind of what becomes fun about it. You know what I mean? I think that's what you know, Drive to Survive did so great for Formula One, is it showed people the personalities and what goes on behind the scenes, and, you know, and some of the drama. So when you watch on track things that happen, it means more to you.
Yeah,
you know,
no, the fastest way to get fans is to show them rivalries and then also let them figure out what the GOAT debate is. Like, who's the GOAT?
Yeah.
So who's your GOAT of racing?
And
it could be any racing.
I would say the best series of drivers, in my opinion, and this might get me in trouble, is IndyCar.
Okay.
Because there's 24 guys you know, who race every week and all 24 of them could win. You know, where in Formula One, like, it really is contingent upon what car you're in.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're seeing that with Hamilton. Like, you know, he's won so many races, but his car is not good and he's an eighth place guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't mean that he's not as good of a driver as he was. Just the equipment mattered that much more. So I think, you know, to win in a series like IndyCar where, like, literally everybody's a top driver and it really about your performance is tough.
And who's the best of all time Indy?
I mean, Scott Dixon, he's what, six-time champion. I mean, there's so many good guys. I don't know. You know, I
know Andretti.
I'm an Andretti guy.
Yeah.
And Allinger Jr.
Yeah. I raced with Allinger Jr. In a race, and I out-qualified him, and that was the coolest thing in the world.
I gotta take him off my goal list now. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
So what do we have to do to get you in NASCAR? How many steps away are you from competing?
I mean, I've been racing, like I said, I've been doing stuff to prepare, because obviously racing NASCAR or racing stock cars, although it's racing, and I've been a race car driver, it's like comparing Olympic diving and Olympic swimming. You know, they both involve a pool, but it they're very different. You know what I mean? Like the racing styles. So I've been doing a lot of oval races and soccer races just to kind of to hone that craft. A lot of it has to do with sponsorship, obviously. You know what I mean? I got to raise a lot of, it costs a lot of money to go racing, and so that's kind of what we're looking for. And we'll see where
the billionaires out there. Elon Musk is a listener of the show. So Elon,
yeah,
if you want to sponsor Frankie,
it's a small drop in the bucket.
Yeah. You're
finding your couch cushions.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I'm as a race car driver, I know that there's things that I need to do for companies and for things, and I'm willing to do all those things. You know what I mean? Like I want to be a race car driver. Like I said, I'm not doing it as a fluke or, mm-hmm. or so whatever I've got to do to get in the car and win races, I'm ready.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chee.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
True or false, you want to work at Barstool? Or you did at one point want to work at Barstool?
I would love to.
You hit up Dave, didn't you? Is that how the story goes?
No, I don't know how we got connected, but I DM'd him and I was like, dude, like, let me work at Barstool. He's like, well, what would you do? And I was like, I don't know.
That's
I mean,
listen,
drive the Barstool NASCAR. Yeah, yeah, obviously. No,
yeah. There's a lot of people who've gotten jobs that way.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that Dave asked you, like, what would you do here? That shows like way more planning than most hires.
Yeah. Yes.
He was actually screening you harder than he screens anyone else.
That was nice, very, nice. Very tough. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, you guys seem like you have a lot of fun, and
we
I don't
do.
Know.
We do.
Mm-hmm. I want to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, you have a crazy like career history with everything you've tried. We should probably just add Barstool to it.
You know, I'm still down. So.
Get him on the team.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Frankie, this has been awesome. We appreciate it. Best of luck in the racing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, let's get you in NASCAR.
I'd love it.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Okay, we're going to wrap up the show with our Mount Rushmore and the return of the man, Billy Football. Billy, it's great to have you back. Clap it up for Billy.
Welcome back, Billy.
Time spent. Sussy spent. You served it all. How you feeling?
Talking to the mic, Billy.
Here we go. It's great to be back. Thank you guys for having me back. I've spent my time reflecting, and I'm very happy to be here.
All right.
Yeah.
What did we learn over our summer vacation?
I learned a good amount off the top of my head. Premiere, been using a lot of Premiere.
Okay, what is that?
It's a editing software for videos.
Oh, wow. Hell yes!
Yeah, so really got into that. And also sort of to put it,
this is gonna be profound.
No, I sort of learned that like
Speak from the heart, Billy.
Yeah. This is it's a trust tree.
Yeah, we're okay. We're a family. Believe it or not, we did miss you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people missed you.
Not like every day, but we missed you at some points. There was definitely points. Like when Zach Wilson's mom started fucking a bunch of moms, I missed you.
That's hearsay.
Okay.
That's libel.
I like that.
It was libel written on the Instagram comment, and anyone who says it is then committing slander.
I do have a question about that for you, though.
Yeah. Wait. He's got to say his profound thing.
Yeah, say your profound thing.
It's hard to express into words, but probably just humility. And sometimes you get into headspaces that you can't really see what's right in front of you.
Right.
And you're not really aware of things because you're in the thick of it. And, you know, you can't see out of the woods from the trees and sort of got a different perspective. Sometimes you got to, you know, get out of the situation you're in to realize what that situation actually is. And that's sort of what happened.
I like that. That's great. That was supposed to be the point of it, and I feel like if that's how you're feeling coming out of it, then it's good for all of us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the Zach Wilson thing, he fucked his mom's friend, right? It wasn't his friend's mom?
Right. It was allegedly his mom's friend.
Because that's it. I was thinking about that the other day. That would be a different story.
Correct.
You broke the code, as John Morant would say, if you fucked your friend's mom.
Well, the reason why it was never clarified is because it's a lie. It was said by a scorned lover.
It's a very cool lie. I wish people would lie about us that all the time.
Yeah.
Just fucking MILFs all the time.
I mean, there was some serious breach of bro code.
by who?
By his former roommate and teammate who he threw tons of touchdowns to.
Team Zach.
Yeah.
And he's a commander now. The other guy, I don't even know his name. He's a nobody.
Milne?
Yeah, the only reason that guy's on the Commanders is because of Zach Wilson, and then he just goes bangs his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then they were getting so much flack for it that they just threw out that slander.
Yeah, homie hopper.
Exactly.
So, if it were true, what would be your take then? This is a hypothetical.
I think that, you know, the last great quarterback the Jets have had, championship winning quarterback, was Joe Namath.
Yeah.
And if it were true, but I don't think it is, Zach is a outstanding man on and off the field, and he, you know, is going to lead the Jets to more success. But if it were true, you know, he's showing a little Joe Namath in him.
Yeah.
Joe Namath definitely had that dog in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a Broadway Joe. Are we getting a Broadway Zach who's about to bring a championship
to
the Jets?
I like that.
The Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
It's a long-standing play.
Exactly.
Okay, so what other story, any other takes that you missed, any stories that we talked about that you're like, oh, man, I wish I was on the show right now?
One thing I did realize over the break was, you know those first thing, Jack Nicklaus is pronounced Jack Nicklaus.
You found like a bunch of clips from, like, you know, 1920. It was actually impressive.
I think that those clips were the original way they pronounced his name, and just over time it's been butchered and he just hasn't had the effort to correct everybody.
Okay, so one problem though is you didn't watch those clips as like a kid.
I may have.
Okay. That you were watching
with the sound off. On mute, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe like my grandparents said Nicklaus.
Right.
And that's how it was said.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Did you listen to the podcast at all, Billy?
I get really bad FOMO.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's a totally fair answer.
It was
it was actually a little sad when we were going out to play mini golf, and we were all driving out to the Hamptons to stay the night, and Billy had to take the cooler out of my car before we all hopped in the car, and we kind of caught eyes, and he was just like a sad puppy. But it was, you know, it was part of the suspension.
I know. And I mean, I kept up with it. I like read through everything, kept the clips, but like,
mm-hmm.
having to listen that whole time.
Yeah, it's too painful. It's too close to the heart.
It's just like, because then I start talking, like trying to talk, and then I'm like in a car by myself.
Oh, you try to chime in. Yeah, yeah.
That's what you should have done, actually. You should have like done practice rounds.
You should have recorded yourself.
Yeah, like just chiming in.
I said this here.
Yeah, I mean, when you just talk to yourself alone in a car, you sort of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a fair answer. I think that's a totally fair answer to be like, I miss, you know, it is. It sucks to not be around here. So now you're back.
Yeah. But it was something that needed to happen, needed to experience that. And it's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Okay. We're glad that you're back. We still got some big things coming this summer. So it's going to be fun. and we missed you for Mount Rushmore season. So I think it's been a great Mount Rushmore season so far. Now we get the pairing of Jake and Billy, which is really what we wanted when we came up with Team Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be Jake and Billy versus Hank and Liam versus me and PFT, and a perfect one to come back for you guys to be combined as a team. PFT came up with the idea, we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of ways to kick things up. So ways to kick things up, Mount Rushmore. You guys should go first because you guys, you know, you've been gone and you're back.
Why don't you select the entire order, Billy?
Yeah. Tell us which order we're going to go in.
So we have to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go clockwise.
Okay. Counter, so.
Yeah.
Wait, counter?
So that would be
clockwise. Clockwise.
So Hank, Hubba second.
Hubba.
You guys.
CatCom. Okay.
By the way, just to specify, is it ways to kick things up a notch?
A notch.
A notch. Yeah, sorry. I forgot a notch.
Up a notch.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because kicking things up.
Yeah, that's
is it
like
different?
Punting. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, you know, paying to your, you know, your capo.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Paying your weekly fee.
The VIG.
You could
the
also VIG, say yeah. Turn things up a notch. Yeah. That also works for this too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick things up a notch. Turn things up a notch. Okay. Here we go. 1-1. Billy and Jake back together. How did the process go from your perspective, Jake?
Billy shot down most of my ideas, but yeah. I'm going to hold my ground this year and say I'm picking one or two.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Nice.
So
nice.
This one is actually Billy's idea.
No, it was not my idea. Jake came up with this. You can look at the text chat.
This is great.
It would be very.
So why are you letting him pick 1-1?
Well, he's going to pick. This is his choice.
Okay. 1-1.
But it's your return.
But Jake just said that it was Billy's idea. Exactly whose idea was it? Before I hear this idea,
I'm not gonna
I need to know whose idea it was.
It was Jake's.
Okay.
It was Jake's.
Don't lie in the first step back.
I'm not lying. It was Jake's idea, and then I gave him a suggestion to make it better.
Okay, okay. So you kicked things up a notch on his
exactly.
idea.
Oh, I like that.
I did.
It's inception.
Wow, okay.
All right, shotgunning a beer.
Okay.
All right.
Good one. Good pick.
I really couldn't say that.
What was your first... Oh, because of the problems he's had? What was the... How okay, all right, that's good pick.
Good pick, guys.
No, I said having that one more Coors Light, having one more Coors
Light.
Got
it. Mm-hmm. Shotgun like, a beer is definitely a way to kick things up a notch. Yeah. I like that pick. All right. Hubba.
Let's go with just levels.
Levels, good
one. Good pick.
Good pick.
Playing
good
levels.
Pick. Playing levels.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So we have two picks now. I think our 1-1 is still on the board, PFT, if you want to say it. Remember, it was a thing that your first
my
one.
My first one?
Yep.
Ordering
yep.
shots.
Yep.
Ordering shots. Because you could be having cold ones at the table, but then one person's like, J-Mo?
Yeah.
And then you know that it's on.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, this is going to be a different type of night.
Like, when the first round of shots gets ordered, it's on.
Yeah. And there is that one, there's a shots guy who can kind of overplay his hand.
Yep.
The guy who's just always like, let's do shots. But that perfect, like, you maybe had like 3 or 4 beers, mm-hmm. and someone's like, let's do a round of tequila.
Yeah.
Boom,
so,
it's
so
going.
If the shot, your first shot of the night is like your fourth drink, at that point, you know you're not going home before two.
Yeah, yeah. The shot guy is either trying to do your first drink of the night is shots, or you're all hammered and you're like barely hanging on. He's like, let's do shots.
I feel like... If you do shots the first drink of the night, that's not really kicking it up a notch.
No, it's you're starting at a high
baseline.
Level.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could do shots if you're late joining the party and you want to play catch up.
Right.
But that's still, you're not turning up a notch. But if you order those shots after you've started, consider the notch kicked up.
Yes. Okay. All right. Our second pick is going to be playing AC/DC. Mm-hmm. Any type of AC/DC, any song that always kicks it up a notch. They're just rock so fucking hard. And I feel like everyone, like when you hear AC/DC, Back in Black, for those about to rock. Oh, Hank's giving me the face. Hank's doing his face.
Hank, what part of AC/DC do you not think kicks it up a notch when they write a song? About,
I think they have a couple songs. I couldn't. If you just put on any AC/DC song, there's a lot of people be like, "What the fuck is this?"
No. There's listen.
There's AC/DC, like three songs.
No, you want me to name wrong. Like six songs off the top of my head that you would know. Okay, You Shook Me All Night Long.
Okay,
that's a notch.
That's yes.
Back in Black.
That's a big notch.
Huge notch.
Back in Black.
Huge notch.
Say.
Thunderstruck.
Yes.
That's a great one.
Huge notch.
Great one.
Huge notch on that one.
For Those About to Rock.
For Those About to Rock.
Huge notch.
Hell's Bells.
Yes.
Jesus.
Consider the notch elevated.
Yes.
You want me to keep going on? Dirty.
That's five.
Dirty Deeds. Done Dirt Cheap.
Yeah.
Six.
Dirty Deeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Different audiences. You're speaking to the olders.
If I played AC/DC right now, it we can we do it? Or is we get suspended on like YouTube and shit? Dude, the notch would go up.
AC/DC's on every pregame youth sports
player. Yes.
The children.
All right, great
Hank's
pick.
Trying to
that's
age
a great pick.
Shame us.
Money Talks, great song. Notch kicked up.
Yes.
Who made
pick.
Who?
That's kicked a great
up.
Pick.
Highway to Hell. You didn't even say
oh my
highway
God,
to
Highway
hell.
To Hell. Jeez. See, all their songs are about rocking, hell, women.
Dude, if we're standing
are rocking
being
harder.
Like, yo, we got to kick this up a notch. I want a beer right now.
Oh, and he goes, hey, Satan. Oh, TNT.
TNT.
All right.
It's
like
their
right.
whole catalog
I was wrong.
Is turning
I was
up a
wrong.
Notch.
I was wrong. Hand up.
if I threw you a beer right now, you would chug it.
Ride. I would.
Asking nothing. Let me be.
I might just listen to AC/DC all day.
I did everything for a star.
I think they're the number one
don't
turn it up a notch band.
Don't need
like, they are the number one. If you play AC/DC, you just immediately are like, let's fucking go. I want to hit someone. I want to drink. I want to fucking do shit.
I want to order shots after hearing that.
Yeah.
Good picks. Those are good
picks.
It's
a notch accelerator is what it is. If you do any of these other activities while listening to AC/DC, the notch gets higher.
Yeah, I appreciate you being Sourpuss Hank because you just made us prove our point.
I wasn't being
more.
Sourpuss Hank at
like,
all.
That catalog that we just rattled off is insane.
I forgot about how many good songs I had. And
so many
as a man of honor and integrity, I'm admitting that.
Okay.
All right.
Shout out to me.
Shout out Hank.
Our second pick, maybe you're at the casino, you're gambling, you've been there for a while, maybe things aren't going super good, or maybe you're just kind of like, you know, middle of the pack, not having the best night, not having the worst night. You want to kick it up a notch, just put it all on Black or Red.
Yep.
That's good.
That's a good
instant
one.
Instant energy boost. It gets the juices flowing, gets everyone excited. If you win, then you're going to have a great night. And let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That
that's
actually gave
one.
Me a good idea for another one.
Yeah, me too.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Great. No, it was a great pick.
That was a great pick.
I should get your pick off of my pick.
Okay. All right. Jake and Billy, back to you. Two picks in a row.
Letting the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Ooh,
okay.
Okay.
I mean, this song has been ingrained in our culture for, I think there's just one NFL hits highlights on YouTube that had this song connected to it. And I think it was the most viewed. And I think every single male in America has watched it.
Yeah.
Close to. And then if you put that song on, it's just, it's electric.
Yeah.
The bodies are hitting the floor.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's not even just the song, just letting the bodies hit the floor.
You can also put a bad highlight reel to let the bodies hit the floor and it becomes great.
Exactly.
I think I did that with Will Compton's playoff, like his highlight reel from 2 years ago when he was going down like as a gunner on kick return.
Yeah.
And he like made a couple tackles on it, but it was like largely a special teams reel.
Yeah.
But you add let the bodies hit the floor to it and it's like, oh fuck,
oh,
this guy,
yeah,
that's playoff Willie.
He's about to fuck some shit up.
If you put that on, I don't think anyone really actually plays it out loud. Like in a weight room, it plays because it gets you hyped. But if you play that just in a bar or something, I don't think anyone's getting out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Good one. Good pick. All right. Your third pick. I just want to listen to AC/DC right now.
Yeah.
Just kicking
when
up
this
notch.
Happens in a football game, everything changes. A surprise onside kick.
Oh,
yeah, that's good.
Great pick. That's a great pick.
Thank you.
Shit.
It's just whether it helps you or hurts you, you can always go back to that surprise onside kick.
Uh-huh.
And that changed everything.
Yeah, that does kick it up a notch for sure.
So
great pick.
Thanks.
We do this all the time here. Sunday nights, we need to kick it up a notch before football. Smelling salts.
Yeah. Smelling salts kicks it up a notch for sure.
It does.
Okay.
I miss the salts.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pick.
I got a bunch on Amazon Prime Day.
Oh, nice.
For this season.
Thank you.
All right. Big Cat, for our next one, I think I'm going to go with number four on my list.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Adding cheese to it.
Mm-hmm.
Putting cheese on an order.
Anything.
Anything.
Just like, yeah, let's throw some cheese on that.
Yep. Yeah, I'll take cheese with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Toss some cheese on that. Maybe some pepper jack. Might be chips. Yeah. Pepper jack really kicks it up a notch.
Melt some cheese on it.
Yes. Yes. Adding cheese.
Billy took exception to that.
I mean, if you eat something cheesy, you go to sleep right after.
Great point, Billy.
That's like
it's a great
night,
point, Billy.
That's like
makes
a night
now
ender.
Happy Billy's back.
It kicks your heel.
Oh, you guys shame me for any disagreement. It's like I thought the Mount Rushmore was embracing debate.
No, it is.
But
no, it
I
is.
Get scared to.
I don't
scared
shame
to,
you for disagreements. I shame you for going like this.
I shame after you for having pick. For having a bad
you
opinion.
Voice
about
your
something.
Disagreement. People can't see your sourpuss face. You need to voice your disagreement.
If you eat a chicken parm, you will fall asleep.
Not necessarily. Yeah, but that might be more the bread and the breaded chicken. Isn't
I know,
it?
But the cheese.
It's the cheese.
Puts you down.
But adding cheese to any dish kicks it up.
I don't know.
I'm not talking
cereal?
About
cereal.
Like, wait. Billy is conflating the kicking it up a notch with like wanting to stay up till 4 a.m. drinking beers. That's not necessarily the case. So in this case, you're kicking the entire meal up a notch by adding queso to it. The meal is what gets elevated.
Okay.
So our last pick. I'm PFT. I like what you just texted me. I'm gonna tweak it just a little. It's going to be putting a monster bet on like a prime time or big game when you're like, all right, Sunday night football, let's go fucking all in here. Monday night football or like there's a huge basketball game. Whenever you do that, it kicks it up a notch, kicks the whole day up a notch, the whole life up a notch.
Your game of the year just feels different.
Game of the year is like,
I'm like scared to say one word,
dude. I get excited. Just sometimes I'll just daydream about like, oh, I'm going to do a game of the year. Just there, that feeling that rush you have where you're like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to watch this game. And we got like a real confident pick in this game.
If you're feeling like half in, half out, like nonplussed about a primetime game, boom, just put
Kick
a monster
a
bet
notch.
On it.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Now it's the most important game of all time.
The boys are over. Let's all group bet together on a big fucking side. Boom. Kicking it up a notch. All right. Your last pick, Hank.
Our last pick. It's a group. It's a team. Team effort.
Good reminder.
Thank you. Our last pick is going to be committing a crime.
Oh!
That's good. That's good.
That does kick it up a notch. Yeah.
It kicks it up a notch. It could be something minor, you know, even just like, you know, a light goes yellow, then red, but you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to speed right through anyway. It could be like, you know, maybe the bartender's not giving you any looks. You reach over the bar or something. Oh. Anything, or it could be high level, like robbing a bank, robbing a gas station, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Committing a crime kicks it up a notch 10 out of 10 times.
You know, yep. My theory about bank robbers is I think you get away with robbing banks way more than we're told.
Yeah.
Because Ooh. Nobody would rob a bank. We only hear on the news about a bank robber getting caught. You never hear about the guys that rob banks that don't get caught.
Because they don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like, what is it, 60%? I think we might have looked it up a while ago. I think like 60% of bank robberies go unsolved.
Yeah.
Sundance Kid.
It's a great business model.
Yeah. Okay, good one.
Thank you.
That was our honorable mention. We have some good honorable mentions. Go ahead.
This one's deep in the bag, but in historically, when you really wanted to kick it up a notch and like you had a bunch of dudes and you really wanted to motivate them and get them going, you burn the boats.
Burning the boats.
Burning the boats.
Yep.
Burn the boats. Many times in history, guys were like, oh, we want to go home. We want to not keep it going. And one dude was just like, we're burning the fucking boats.
Yeah, put cash in the ceiling.
Yeah, cash the ceiling.
Cash the seal, we're coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, burning the boats is good. When I was in Nashville a couple weeks ago, that was like our motto for the trip. We just kept saying, burn the boats. Like, didn't matter what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's just, if you say burn the boats, it gets the boys pumped up.
Yes. Okay, all right, honorable mentions. That was a good Mount Rushmore. Honorable mentions. We did have on our list that missed the cut for us is just putting all the windows down or the taking off the sunroof. That always kicks it up a notch when you're driving on the highway.
I was going to steal Game of the Year from you, but I didn't. So shout out to me.
Wow. You were too.
Really?
Yeah.
Doubling down in general. Just when you double down on anything.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think casino, I had one similar, but I...
Well, when you do when you're supposed to, it doesn't feel like you're...
No, it does.
No,
though.
It doesn't feel
it
as
does.
Risky.
Even when you do it, you're still kicking
11
up
against
a notch.
The six.
Well, so doubling down either in the course of a hand of blackjack, that's kind of kicking it up a notch. But if you just decide to double your bet,
yeah, or yeah, you win a bet and then you just double it.
Yeah, okay. You let it ride.
I thought you were talking about 11 versus six.
Yeah, letting it ride.
Letting doubling it ride.
Yeah, letting it ride.
Doubling 12.
Yep. Doubling on 12. Cocaine. Do it responsibly. What else?
I had another football one.
Turning on Sandstorm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We had going for two in the first quarter.
Yeah. Mm.
Like Steelers, 8-0.
I like that.
Yeah.
Flea flickers.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
Feels like it does.
A gadget play in general.
Yeah, gadget play kicks it up a notch. Just kind of fucks the whole flow up.
Dessert.
I had that on my list, but I had...
Like, sometimes you're like, I'm not going to get dessert, but when you're having a dessert night, I mean, you probably have dessert nights all the time, but, like, sometimes it's like, yeah, that was uncalled for. But, like, some people, it's like, there's...
You literally were in my house, and I gave you ice cream. You said, do we have ice cream? And I was like, actually, yeah, we do, because we always do.
Yeah, that was
and
a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
No, but yeah. Like sometimes, like you go to, you know, dinner, if it's like a weeknight, you're like, yeah, I'm good with dessert. But if it's a dessert night, it's like you're kicking it up a notch.
I think lighting a dessert on fire is cool too.
Yeah. That lighting anything on fire.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
Lighting anything on fire.
Starting a fire.
Shooting into the air.
Yep. That kicks it up a notch. Beer before noon just kicks it up a notch. Mm-hmm. It all, like, that's because the notch is so low that just one beer before noon is like, Billy, don't get ideas. That's like, you know, you kick it up a notch when you're the first guy, if you're like on a trip or something and you just crack that first beer. Mm-hmm. Being the first person to crack the beer on like a guy's trip, that always kicks it up a notch.
The rest of the day is going to be effortless at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smooth sailing.
Yeah.
I had Steve Adazio videos.
Yeah.
Yep.
Steve Adazio.
Or I think Billy would agree, Waka is like Waka Flocka. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's very good. That's good.
Turning on Gremlin mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
You guys probably don't know that song yet. It's a kind of underground.
Hot sauce in general.
Yeah.
I also, this one, you guys can tell me if this one's way off, but I think just throwing a ball around kicks it up a notch. When you're like maybe sitting around and you get a ball and then it's just like a ball enters a room, because you know you can't just not throw a ball around if you have a ball, and then it slowly like becomes like a game, and then you're tossing it and chucking it. I think that always kicks it up a notch.
Yeah, I was going to, like, gets the blood flowing.
Yeah,
like, if
right.
you're all just sitting around and you're like, let's go outside.
Yeah, like, if I had a tennis ball right now, I was chucking around, you guys would, all of you in this room would be like, yo, pass that to me. And then it becomes, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Big booty mix 13.
Mm-hmm.
Any big booty mix.
That's for the younger crowd.
Yep. That's a good one.
Shout out to the friends.
Yep.
Ooh, when you were younger, a belly flop or a cannonball.
Ooh, yeah.
At the pool party. That yeah. Was, yeah.
Pushing someone in the pool always kicks it up a notch.
Yeah, you can't
puts
do that anymore,
on edge.
Though, with phones.
I know.
You can't really prank somebody who's fully clothed.
But that does kick it up a notch because everyone's like, ooh, who's going to get pushed in next?
Yeah.
Pantsing someone.
Oh, uh-huh. Great one.
Tearing their pockets off the back of their jeans.
Yes.
Farting in public.
Okay. Explain that one.
Go on.
I don't know. Just like, yeah, I guess maybe it doesn't kick it up a notch.
Is it a rush? You get a rush from that?
Yeah.
Back flips. All
right, I take that back.
Oh, no.
It's honorable mention.
Yeah.
Pulling into a McDonald's randomly on a road trip.
Kicking it up a notch?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
But is it random on a road trip?
Everyone's
like,
oh.
That's like expected.
No, but it's like you usually want to get like a.
Pulling into a strip club on a road trip.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a strip club definitely kicks it up
a notch.
Like, I
feel like if you're going on a road trip, then it's expected that you're going to pull into a McDonald's at some point.
Yeah.
A surprise strip club visit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, a surprise road trip kicks it up a notch. Like, let's just fucking go here.
Going driver off the deck.
Kicks it up a notch. Driver on par 3. Kicks it up a notch.
Dry scooping pre-workout.
Kicks it up a notch.
Sniffing pre-workout.
Sniffing glue.
Responsibly.
Yeah. What else? What else?
Eating a cheesesteak before a podcast.
I think that turns it down, right? Because then you have to...
Yeah, because the cheese.
The cheese.
Putting cheese on it turns it down.
Adding guac to a burrito.
Mm-hmm. Kicks it up a notch.
Even though it's extra.
Speeding.
Yep.
I guess that would be under your crimes, but yeah.
Running from the police.
Yeah. Yeah, we're helping Hank here. He's just happy.
I mean, that was a good pick. The crimes one.
Yeah, crimes is a great pick. It was a fucking great pick.
Memes.
Headbutting stuff.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Getting in a fight kicks it up a notch. Always. Okay, anything else? I think that's good. That was a good Mount Rushmore. Kick it up a notch. That's all. I just want to listen to AC/DC, though.
Yeah.
Kick it up a fucking notch. Just fucking get crazy with it. All right. Well, that is our show. Should we do
Dragula.
Dragula, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
what about
putting on Dragula? That's a huge, huge miss.
Morbin?
Morbin?
Yep.
It's Morbin time.
If you get up and you're like, I'm going to Morbin today?
Mm-hmm. I'm always Morbin.
That's definitely kicking it up a notch. Morbin feels, always feels. Oh.
Morbin Freeman.
Ordering pancakes for table does kick it up a notch. It does, you know, because it does just like, hey, we're going in. That could be just, if you just are like, let's get every appetizer, that kicks it up a notch.
Yeah, yeah. Doing an apps dinner.
Yeah, being like, I got this, and then getting like 8 appetizers, that kicks it up a notch.
The pancakes move, I don't know if it's kicking up a notch, but it makes everybody else at the table a little bit more calm because everyone was thinking, oh, I might get the pancakes.
Yeah.
But then when somebody orders it for the table, then you're like,
we're good.
Okay, I don't have to worry about ordering the pancakes anymore.
Yes, yes. Okay, let's do numbers. Great to have you back, Billy. You're back in the fold. You're back in
black.
I'm going
to take 69.
Back in black.
Have you guys, has
69
hit? 69's hit four times.
I think it was three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was
three times. The fourth was on the computer, so it didn't count.
26.
69.
27. Hank?
96.
Okay, my real pick is 21.
You turn it on, Billy?
Is it on?
I think it's unplugged on your end.
Yeah.
There we go. Nope. It's lit up.
Hank, have you ever... No. You've never gotten this, right? 88.
The pool.
Ooh. Patrick Kane's going to get traded.
Otters are necrophiliacs.
Love you guys.
That's true? They fuck dead otters?
Yeah, they're fucked up. Otters are like serial killers.
Whoa.
Don't they hold hands, though?
No, they're not cool at all. Look,
I guess
into
that would
it
be like the normal side of the...
How do they? How do they hear?
Investigate otters.
Do they have sea lion ears?
Yeah, they're external.
That's what we got to call anyone who has external ears. Those are sea lion ears.
Ryan Whitney is half sea lion.
Sea lions have internal ears.
No, wrong.
Wrong!
Wrong, Billy.
You don't listen.
Seals have internal ears. Sea lions have external ears.
Wow. Don't you feel foolish.
So when you said that you read all the stuff that we put out.
That's also not
true.
We got caught in a lie. First day back.
Yeah, look it up.
Look it up. You were wrong.
Yeah, damn is right.
Yeah, have some of that.
Sea lions also try to attack people much more than people think.
Yeah, but they have external ears. That's the main point.
I just checked it out.
They're also very cute.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Dangerous.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say. I'm saying anyway. Today's another day to find you. Shy it away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shy it away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Needless to say, I'm saying, but at least a little way. Learn what life is okay. Say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Say after me. It's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Shine away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on.